Welcome back to Kettlebells and Cocktails. I'm your host, John, back with my bestie, Nikki. Nikki, how are you?
I'm great. I'm
are you?
Already laughing. We're already laughing. I started recording this 5 minutes ago.
I know. This is the problem. We honestly, I swear to God, I say this all the time. As soon as we log in, I should just hit record because it's always stuff before the show that's the best.
I know.
And then we could edit it out if we needed to. I may start doing that in the future.
That's fine.
Anyway,
that's totally fine.
I'm excited about tonight. Because we met our guest at the CrossFit Games. You guys, Caleb, you guys made a splash with your Bag Haven. You really did. I'm not just saying that because you're on the show.
Thank you.
First of all, they gave you a great location. I don't know who you had to slip money to get that location, but you have the best spot.
The money. I think he paid the man.
Yeah, well,
we paid the man.
Now. Hey, look, everybody pays the man, and some people get stuck in the corner, and Caleb got the best spot, no doubt. But I heard everybody talking about your bag and your company Haven. So first of all, congratulations and thank you for coming on the show.
That's awesome. Thank you for having me. Stoked to be here. Stoked to have some fun conversations. If it's anything based like the first couple of minutes here, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, you just never know.
I promise not to offend too much with my language.
Okay, I was going to say how much.
Topics,
yeah.
Here's the real
backstory with all this cursing. So Caleb asked us off there see if he could curse, which made us laugh because we feel like we only curse. And the real backstory to this, Caleb, is when we started the show, we were cursing a lot. And when we decided to launch a YouTube channel with it, YouTube at the time was really, really touchy about how much you could curse. So I would have to tell Nikki, no cussing. This is going to be on YouTube. And I'd have spent a lot of time editing and whatever. And we'd still screw it up. And then at some point, YouTube got a lot more loose. You just can't curse much in like the first 60 seconds or so. And then after that, as long as you don't get too graphic, they're cool with it. And so it's been by and large fine, mostly.
Mostly.
But occasionally, things get out of hand. So whatever happens, happens. Whatever happens.
Totally
so we crossed 60 seconds, so we're good now, right?
Yeah, we're good.
Amazing.
Say whatever you want. Yeah, we're good.
Glorious. At what point do I really need to start filtering my shit around my kid? Because now he's 2, and he's doing the thing where he, like, asks a lot of questions, and then you will answer it, and then he'll repeat back the exact thing. He'll be like, what's that sound? And I'll be like, oh, that was a car. And he'll be like, a car. So at what point? I feel like it's now. That I need to watch my shit because he'll just walk over to me one day and be like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, where could you possibly have heard that?
No, look, my daughters, Kayla, my kids are 22 and 20, and they curse with perfect context at their age. So I don't think you should stop. I'm like, you're really just training them for their college years, you know?
Yeah.
That's all you're doing.
We believe in training in this house, so that's fine.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, you're just preparing him for life.
It's like potty mouth training. It's right by potty training.
Same thing.
Comes first. I'm avoiding potty training so hard. It's happening, right? Like, it needs to happen, like, right now. Like, weaning is happening, and then potty training is happening right after that. And then,
but
like,
you just love
pulling.
Wiping a dirty butt.
No, I fucking hate it. It's the worst, but it's so routine at this point that I'm just scared. He's pooped on the potty a couple times. All right. It's happened.
Well, you're still going to be wiping butts for a while, though. And honestly, I this is going to sound weird, but I miss it. And here's why. Like, when my girls were little, I know, but when you miss those moments with your kids when they're like totally sweet and vulnerable and everything's innocent. And when they were little, still needing to be wiped, but they could go to the bathroom on themselves or by themselves, I would be on the couch watching TV and you'd be right in the middle of something. And all of a sudden from the other room, you'd hear, daddy, come wipe me. And you'd come in the room and they'd be holding their ankles, a little butt sticking in the air. You know? And at some point that goes away and you don't even realize when it ends. Like at some point it just stops and you don't even realize it until you look back and I'm like, oh man, those days are over now.
Yeah,
that's fair.
That's Matt sending me like every sappy TikTok of like dads being like, I didn't even realize when the last time I picked you up was. And I'm like, I can't think about it.
And so then you have another one and then the cycle repeats in perpetuity.
Right. But I hear the second one is like the nightmare. Like the first one is you're like angel child and you're like, this is amazing. I should do it again. And then the second one is the devil incarnate.
What I have to look forward to is I'm irresponsible financially. So someday they'll be wiping my butt. It'll be great.
Perfect.
Perfect.
That's really how you do good. It. I think that's what you do it.
Yeah, that's what
anyway, we had a point, Caleb, to bringing you onto the show tonight.
Yeah.
I swear, it wasn't only about wiping butts in that conversation. Right. It was also about the fact that we're super excited about the presence that Haven had at the games and now sort of like within the community. And I just feel like it happened really fast. And so I'm dying to know more about you and more about the brand. And I have a bunch of like nerdy marketing questions about how you managed to really enter our space so well, because you're such a perfect fit.
Aww.
And I will start this all out by saying what feels like, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, like a while ago now, I was on the hunt for a new gym bag. And I did the thing that I always do where I post on my Instagram and I ask, because there are so many brands and so many people who find little niche things and people really love to share the things that they love, especially within our sport, especially gear. And so I asked, I was like, what brands do you guys like? And I always get a ton of people who are like, please share your answers because I'm also looking. And I was like, for sure. So a few people recommended you guys to me and I had never heard of you before, so it was perfect. It did exactly what I wanted to do in finding a few new brands actually that I had never heard of before. Everyone looked like they were making really killer stuff, and you guys, out of the goodness of your hearts, offered to send one to my house for me to check it, and it came, and it's great. And
awesome.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And you know who else loved it? My husband.
Did he steal your bag?
Stole it.
No.
Yes, he's stole it. And he said he doesn't listen to the show, so it doesn't matter. He'll never hear
me great. Yeah,
calling him
that.
We can totally shit on that all night. But yeah, that's literally how the whole thing happened. It was like, wow, this is amazing. And he was like, this is
amazing.
And then I never saw the bag again. So we're big fans of you guys in our house. And then what feels like overnight, all of a sudden, there was this announcement that you guys were the official bag of the CrossFit Games. And so can you please just start from the beginning? Who are you? Who are you guys? How did you you come up with this brand and sort of like make a splash the way that you did?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many angles here to tell you. I'll just kind of hit some highlights and then we can go deeper where you want.
Cool.
My background is in like tech and software and marketing, and I've started a few things before. Some of them did okay. Some of them didn't. It's just kind of like my background is starting stuff. I really enjoy it. And in 2016, I was digging around in my gym bag. I couldn't find my headphones. I emptied it out. I pulled this plastic piece out of the bottom. I was literally in the gym shaking it. I was like, this is dumb. There has to be something better. And we started looking around. God, there's not really anything else out here. Maybe we should make something. And we're like, turns out gym bags haven't really changed since the 80s. Before that, they were like these tubes that our grandparents took to war. And in the 80s, it was like the classic like Nike duffel with the two pockets on the side. And since then, it hasn't really changed, but athletes have changed. Gear has changed. We're using Theragun and Hyperice and Normatec recovery boots and neuromuscular stimulators. And we're using all of red light therapy. We're using all of these tools. And we're like, it's kind of ridiculous that you have 500,000, multiple thousands of dollars worth of gear and clothing and high performance things that help you. And then you throw them in this bag that you probably got in high school. And so we're like, that's the opportunity. And so then we just went down this road of how do we make it better?
I think I have that World War II tube bag. I'm pretty
sure.
I definitely have the 1989 Nike duffel with the two pockets,
100%.
I have that same experience every time I go to my affiliate. I swear to God, I'm like, where are my keys? And I'm shaking this bag, like trying to find my damn keys. And it, for the record, it has a pocket where you can put the keys. I'm just too dumb to do it. I just toss it in with everything else.
Yeah.
You got to dump it all out. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So we talked to people, and being from like background of marketing and kind of other tech stuff, like talking to people and just figuring out what the problem is and how to solve it is nature to who we are. And so we're like, how do we solve it? And we went through all of this market research and talking to people and came up with basically five things. It was like, organization is the biggest thing. That's like the easiest frustration. It's a big black hole. People are tired of digging around for their stuff, losing their stuff, feeling frustrated. They can't find their stuff. And then they want it to be durable. They want it to be ventilated. They wanted a special spot for their shoes. And that was kind of like what we focused. Oh, they wanted structure. And so that's what we focus on. We're like, that doesn't sound that hard. Like, why don't people fix the problem? And as we looked into it more, we're like, well, everyone's focused on doing the sexy thing, doing athleisure, athletic wear, putting their big logo on a shirt and then trying to build up a brand that way. And then even when you do that, there's a big brand in our sport. And I read this story And they had started this brand and they were making pretty decent like footwear and clothing. And then they outsourced the bag design to a different company. Like they did all the other stuff in-house and then they took the bag and it was like a back burner. Like, oh yeah, we should have a bag. Rather than thinking like, how do we make everything that we make better or awesome or really solve a problem? And so they're kind of like every other company's like loss on that is our opportunity. And even the bag companies that are just bag companies that exist, you can, I mean, it's like on, I don't want to like shit on everyone here, but like on Instagram, you can
just do it.
You can find a bag manufacturer that makes the exact same bags as most of the other bags in our sport and in other sports on Instagram. And you can get that bag and then slap your logo on it and then sell it for whatever you want. They are all the same. They're all off the rack. There's nothing interesting about them and they don't solve problems, which is why we have been able to gain traction so quickly because we're like, how do we solve the problem? This, and this. Got it. Did we solve it? Yes. Do you want to buy it? Yes. Even at a lot of dollars because it costs us a lot of dollars to make? Yes. Cool. Off to the races.
I firmly
what
believe.
What happens when you actually talk to people about what the fuck they need, isn't it?
Right?
Yeah.
It's
right?
insane when you like take that real approach to figuring, to like getting boots on the ground with people and being like, hey, what is your problem? I am truly here to fix it.
Mm-hmm. You know what's really crazy about that to me is CrossFitters have proven they will spend money on anything if it's good. Like they really will. We don't care. Not only that, we'll buy two of them. Like, swear to God, whatever you make, we'll just keep buying it. Mm-hmm. We don't care. But it does have to be good quality because we beat stuff up like nobody else.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It's very true. And that's, I think, part of when you ask about like how we kind of entered the space is with CrossFit. Like CrossFit is a, someone called it a magic brand incubator because you look at Whoop and Oura Ring and Zevia and all these companies that are $1 billion and hundreds of millions of dollars valued and even sold at those prices, built their foundations at RX Bar, sold for $600 million to Kellogg's. They built their foundations in CrossFit, but they did it really authentically. They talked to people. They built in the community. Oftentimes, the founders were CrossFitters. They went to CrossFit. Right. And that's me. I've been doing this for 8 years. And so I knew inherently the problems. And then all of my friends were CrossFitters. And then as I like took it around and showed people or sent it to people online, it was CrossFitters. And so over the course of like several years of being like, hey, like we're kind of the, we can't say this, the CrossFit bag. Now we can say we're the CrossFit bag because we paid for that, right?
Right.
But
right.
at the time, we were just like, hey, like I'm a CrossFitter and I like this bag. And that worked. And then it just kind of slowly gained steam. And then as people, like you said, as people see it and they're like, it's actually really high quality and actually it solves the problem. And then CrossFitters don't shut up about it, which is kind of this great thing when you create something good in this ecosystem.
Yeah. We don't shut up about much.
I mean, that's true.
Let's be fair.
Yeah. And we're proud of it too.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, look at our muscles and listen to our mouths talk about CrossFit. That's actually a really great point is when I think about all of the really wonderful founders that we know and the stories that are like very heartwarming about them starting their brands for the right reasons. There is this very like guerrilla approach of going to gyms and pressure testing the products and kicking the tires and making changes based off of the feedback that you get. I mean, the story of Dave Kalina hucking water out of the back of his car, just like gym to gym being like, this is really good water. Trust me. Do you want to try some?
Yeah.
It really resonates because I think our community can sense bullshit.
Yeah.
Not everyone. Some people are just here for the gear or here for the brands that you love, and that's fine. If there's a brand that you love their athleisure and then they make kind of a halfway shitty bag, but you're like, it's fine because this brand has my loyalty. Like that's what we do in marketing. And so like I understand that aspect of it. But a bag in and of itself must be quite functional. So I do love the fact that our people probably could spot the bullshit and they have chosen to be the evangelists for your brand.
Right. Yeah, totally.
I think people, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I don't buy everything from one brand. You know what I mean?
I don't either. Yeah.
Like there are plenty, like I'm bougie. I'm a Lululemon guy. I love Lululemon.
Fair.
But I do not carry their bags. Their bags are crap.
No, like the bags suck.
Yeah, their shirts are great. Their shorts are amazing for men to work out in. They never rip. They don't stink. They wash easy. They clean up well. Like they're perfect.
They're benchmark. They're like the standard.
Yeah.
But their bags are crap. I'd never buy their bag, particularly. And they're charging a premium for them.
Yeah.
I think we can spot that. Like, I looked at the bag and I'm like, nope, never lasted what I put it through in CrossFit. The thing's getting tossed on the floor, stepped on by other CrossFitters. My stinky ass shoes are going to be in there. Not going to work.
Yeah.
So Caleb, what was the timeline from inception of this idea to like your first product really hitting the market?
Yeah. So had the idea roughly around 2016, started pursuing it in 2017, and being like software marketing background, we had no idea like, how do you make a product? How do you design? We're like drawing sketches and we're like, we're also terrible at drawing. So that's when we brought a friend on who is our third co-founder. It was me and my brother initially, and we brought on our friend Nick, and he's like, I can draw. And we're like, cool, you're on.
You're hired.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, we worked with him for a few months and he was like, he really understands like design principles and again, working with people to figure out solutions. And so we started working through that, but he still didn't know what to do. And so then we just kept asking questions. Like and even now, like it's just a nonstop game of asking questions of how do you do this? How do you do this better? What's the right way to do it? Where should we like color outside the lines? And so we figured out how to design a tech pack, which is what you send to a factory, which is how you get a product developed. And then we spent a year trying to find a factory because all the ones that got our tech pack were like, huh, hell no, this is super hard. We're not going to build that for you. And I was like, guys, what's why?
Why?
Yeah. Yeah. And now that we're here, we totally understand. Like even the factory we work with now is just, hey, can we make this easier every time we place an order? And we're like, no, it's the way it is for a reason. And it's really hard to make. And it's 10 times the cost of what a normal bag makes. Cost a normal bag to make at a factory. And it also 10 times the cost to ship it, because a normal 40-foot container can fit like 10,000 like squished bags. Our bags don't squish, so it can fit like 1,000. So we've got 10x the cost. And then it's the same thing from our warehouse to a customer's house. Like it's a giant box that is technically oversized, half of them are. And so we're spending a lot of money there. And so most people, like you said, like we're okay with spending money on good quality products. And then there's a few people who are like, get out of here. It's a $300 bag. I'm like, yeah, it has to be a $300 bag or we don't have a business.
Right.
This is the option. Or make it in America. I'm like, I tried. They all turned me down. And then one was like, yeah, we could maybe make it for $500 a pop. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Right.
But they were all like, no, this is Asian manufacturing. America does not manufacture things like what you want to do. So I was like, sure. Okay, cool. Yeah. So that was like development for like 3 years. And then 2020, we did a very small pre-sale. We're just like, hey, will people give us money for this? And they did. And then we're like, cool, can we manufacture it? And then we did. So that was like 100 units. And then 21, we really hit the ground running. So we started with our large duffel. We added the small duffel to it. 2021, we cruised through that year, still doing this just on the side, part-time, and also pre-selling it because we're bootstrapped and we didn't have the cash for it. So we're just like, hey, here it is. We're going to deliver it. We're going to try to deliver it in 6 to 8 months. And people were like, yeah, okay. We're like, all right, cool. Guess we're doing this. And so we did that through 21. And I tweet about this fairly publicly, so I don't mind like sharing numbers. Kind of this concept called like build in public, but it's vulnerable and it brings people into your ecosystem. And so I've met investors and friends and business partners and all these really cool people just by being on Twitter and being like, hey, this is what we're doing and it's working, or this isn't working, or this part sucked, or I screwed this one up, or this really cool thing happened. And so 2021, we did $180,000 in top line revenue. And we're like, that sounds pretty cool. Like towards the end of that, we started getting pretty busy trying to get the product in. And I was like, I think I need to go full time. And so end of 21, that's when I went full time on it. And then let's see, 2022, what is this? This is now 23. So 2022, we basically just kept doing that, pre-selling, getting product in, delivering it, pre-selling, getting product in, delivering it. We did like over 800,000. And then this year we cracked 1 million in June and we've been cruising ever since. And we added the backpacks. We did the CrossFit Games last year. And that was kind of like the opening door to the CrossFit Games relationship. And so, yeah, that's kind of like the like short little journey we've been on so far.
It's funny because when you hit the ground running within the community, I feel like it happens fast. I feel like you had this like really slow burn from inception to like perfect product development to, well, let's like show up at the games and see what happens. And then it's bam, like, holy shit. Now everybody knows your name. you're on the side of the Coliseum. Like, yeah. You're one of the brands that now people are like just very, very familiar with. And I just feel like that sometimes when it happens really fast can mean that you feel fake. And yeah. I have just never gotten that vibe from you guys. Like your entire staff on site at the games, you felt like you've been here forever. And I'm trying to figure out from a marketing perspective, like, what was your strategy to break into our space, to start communicating with our people, to start explaining your journey and your backstory? Like, how did you do it in a way that made everyone just be like, oh, yeah, we're glad you're here. And not, oh, another bag company. Oh, who are these guys? Oh, whatever. Like, it just felt so normal. Even to me, just on Instagram, that very first time that someone was like, have you seen Haven? They're kind of expensive, but they're worth it. And I was like, nah, I haven't. And then someone DM'd me and they were like, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
You're looking at bags. And I'm like, oh my God, a human on the other end of this. I'm great. How are you doing? It just, everything has felt so normal. How did you pull that off?
Yeah. A lot of intention and just trying to be humans and trying to be vulnerable. Like whether it's building in public on Twitter or whether it's me on the Instagram being like, hey guys, like I'm the co-founder and CEO and here's what we're doing. It's a pre-sale or hey, like, the ship got stuck because the entire country of Vietnam shut down for 3 months. If you don't believe me, which some people didn't, literally I had some people like, dude, the fuck are you kidding me? Like this delay, like you're trying to scream. I'm like,
right.
Bro, here's the link to
the... No, the bags came in. They're just in my garage and I don't feel like giving one seat.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm just trying to screw you out of $300 for a gym bag.
Right.
And it's you. We all know the type of person this is. And so I'm just like, bro, here's the link to the U.S. embassy. Here's like a letter that they published in Vietnam. The country is shut down. I'm not lying. I'm sorry. Also, every time someone said that, I will refund you right now. If you don't want to wait, there is an easy solution here to your unhappiness. I'll just give you your money back. But they never wanted
they don't
their
want
money.
That.
They really just want the bag. Right. So I'm like, I get it. But we try to be very intentional. We try to be very real, very honest, and tell stories. And like, it helps that I am like the target market as we started. As we grow, that might change a little bit and ebb and flow, like as we added more sports and stuff. But like, core CrossFitter, like that is me. I have a ton of gear. I'm very organized. I'm like type A. I want my shit like where I left it. I don't want to dig around for it. If I'm in a class, I don't want to be like running around like a chicken with my head cutting off, wondering where my victory grips are. I want to grab them and I want to do the biggest set of pull-ups I can do. And so we told a lot of stories around that and we connected with a lot of people and I ran the DMs on our Instagram for the first 3 years. So like when
that
you
is
tagged
insane.
Us.
That's insane to me.
Yeah. Like when you tagged us, I was like, holy shit, it's reporter Nicole. What's up? Can we send you a bag? Yeah. That was me.
Yeah. Can you send one for my husband to steal? Of course you can.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, let's take another one, by the way.
Caleb, like, I know what it takes to run a company. It is insane to me that you even have the login for the Instagram. Like, you should not, you have other shit to do. Someone else should be handling that.
Yeah, yeah. Now we have someone mostly handling it, but I still jump in there because, like, I really believe it's, like, the heart and soul of how you create a good company and a good product. And also, like, you give everyone the same amount of empathy. Right before I got on here, I was talking to a guy who sent me this big old thread about like ideas he had for the duffel. He's like, add on some D-rings and add some pockets on the front. Here's how it would be helpful. And I was like, dude, these are killer suggestions. Thank you so much. Like I thrive on that stuff. Like that stuff gives me life. Like I like to lead the company and then I like to like answer customer service emails.
Now that I know he runs the DMs, I'm just going to send him memes all day.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Just because I can. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know. We try to be as authentic as possible. And even at the games, like it was me and my co-founder. And then it's just people that we put a note out there. We're like, hey, like we need people to help us work the booth. We'll pay for your flights. We'll pay for your hotel. We'll pay for your food. We need two shifts of people. So we need 12 in addition to our crew. And when we were like the first night or at some night, we were going out to dinner and a couple of them were like, so how'd you pick us? And I was like, vibes, 100% vibes. Like,
totally.
I looked at what you like responded in the little thread, which was like, give me your baseline info and then tell me why you want to work for the booth. And then I looked at your Instagram and I was like, do you seem cool? Do you do CrossFit? Are you like going to show up in an authentic way? And I feel like I mean, we had really great feedback. So I feel like we did a good job there. And I don't know, like it's such like a silly thing to say, like vibes or like good vibes only, but like it's so real.
I was on a new business call today at work with my partners, and there was a potential new client who was giving us sort of like all the backstory on their brand and recent performance, what their marketing efforts have looked like, their KPIs, soft metrics, whatever. And then they were like, what do you guys look for in a partner? Is there a minimum ad spend? Do we have to come in with some sort of level of success already that you need to take from there on or whatever? What are your stipulations for taking on a client? I swear to God, my partner Jess was like, vibes. and I was just like, yeah. I mean, don't have a requirement for the kind of people that I want to work with outside of the fact that there are good people doing good things with good ideas. If I feel like I want to have a beer with you, I'll consider working with you. But if you're like a major whatever opportunity for us to make a killer amount of money and you're a douchebag, I'm out. And maybe that's the wrong way to run a business, like with my retirement in mind, but it's sure shit is the right way to run a business today so I can sleep at night. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And that even, I don't know, that's what in the CrossFit negotiations and the legal and like the figuring out how to become like an official partner more than just sponsoring a booth at the games. Last year is like, hey, are things like kosher? Like you can sponsor. Cool. But as an official partner, there's a lot of like back and forth. And that was a big thing for us. It was like, hey, like we don't want to, I don't know, have a negative scenario here where they like want to know that you actually want to be partners. And there were several moments in working through this where they met us and they were like, cool, like we can do it this way and we can adjust that. And if that doesn't work, then let's do it like this. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm looking for. This is a good vibe. And you're showing that like you want to partner, not just here's our mold. If you can fit in it and pay us the money, then you can be a partner. They were like, no, we want this to work. And I think that's probably part of what played into us getting like a pretty dope spot. And also, I don't know, this is assumptions, but like we're the up and coming brand and like we can use the dope spot more than a company who's doing 50 to 100 million a year in top line.
For sure. That's really good to hear. That's really good to hear, because I don't think a lot of people, we don't have a lot of insight there. And so I think sometimes the impression is CrossFit is sort of just like the big bad looming overlord. And if you want to be here, you got to pay and we'll see how it goes. And it's really cool to hear that there's people on the inside that are willing to work with you and make it kind of like the best for both parties.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out David Woods, head of partnerships over there.
Sick. That's great.
Yeah.
I don't think I know David. How do we not know David? Hey, we knew Ari.
The role changed over kind of recently. So we haven't had a chance to meet kind of all the new people where they fell, but that's awesome to know that in that position is really doing the Lord's work. So to
speak. Yeah. there's some good people over there really fighting the good fight. Actually, I think a lot of people are, but then they're just like really big and there's a lot of separated arms of the company doing their things. And it makes it hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big business be like that.
Yeah. It do.
It always be like that.
We all know our businesses. They're huge.
Well, I've liked your guerrilla marketing. We actually have a guest coming on who you gave a bag to, Allie Spigola.
Yeah. Oh, really? You're going to interview her?
Oh, I love Allie.
We've known each other. Allie have been friends for ages.
We go way back.
So cool.
All the funny people find each other online. And Allie and I found each other a couple of years back. And she had me on her podcast, like, I want to say 2 years ago when she had
it was like during COVID.
Yeah, she had 300,000 followers at the time on YouTube, and now she has 1 million.
Yeah.
So I'm taking credit for that. You're welcome, Allie.
Yeah.
And so he gave her a bag, Nikki, and so she did this whole reel where she turned it into a portable bar. She's filling vodka and gin. And I'm like, man, this is great marketing. And I really want one of those bags full of alcohol now.
Every single one of my friends sent me that reel, not knowing that I'm already friends with her, like not realizing that it's the same bag that was like the CrossFit bag, every single one. And I was like, dang, am I an alcoholic?
Yes.
So many people were like, you need this to transport all your booze. Okay.
Thank you a lot.
Shit.
No. But I love that type of guerrilla marketing and like just kind of getting it out in the public and letting people see it and let people just do dumb things with it instead of like kind of the traditional, oh, you can put your shoes in here and you can put your belt in here. I think it's really kind of special and makes CrossFitters think, all right, this is not some stuffy.
Well, here's what it tells me is from a marketing perspective. And again, this is nerdy, but also this is like my way of life, so take it with a grain of salt, I guess. But like from a marketing perspective, you guys are valuing kind of like really authentic, I don't even know, acts of kindness, right? Mm-hmm. Like not every brand will send product just because. Mm-hmm. Not every brand will do seating along those lines. A lot of brands will require payment, posts, whatever it may be. Not a lot of brands are willing to put themselves out there on the level of, I'm going to send you this, and if you like it, great. I hope you do love it. And that creates a real connection, a real relationship, and a real type of trust with a potential customer or community member, whoever you want to call them, depending on what your business is. And knowing what I know about you guys now, especially with the hoops you jumped through with the factory, like your margins must be pretty tight. Giving away a $300 bag is not pennies for you the way it might be if you were like mass manufacturing something that could be crushed on an ocean liner. So it's just like it's effort in the right places and it's cost in the right places. And it's like the financial hit in the right places to hopefully see it on the back end. So I can tell that you're, as a founder, also coming from a marketing background, like you've really got the long game in mind. But it's true, because when you build a relationship based off of just, I don't even know what to call it, like admiration. Like when you build a relationship like that, like that's the shit that people remember. People will always remember customer service style shit no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything, more than how much they love your product, more than how well it performs, more than anything along those lines. Like if you sent them a thing or refunded them for a thing or just sent them a note and were like, hey, how was your day? They will remember it forever. And so it's the long game. And I think so many brands miss that.
100%.
So bad.
No, and that's why I say I love to run the DMs. I love to jump into customer service and help out where I can. Or just also, I mean, our customer service person does an incredible job, but she doesn't have the founder power. Like I could make a decision that's maybe not the best financial decision, or maybe it's outside of the lines of what we should do in the scenario. Comping shipping or sending a free shirt or doing whatever kind of it takes to make the customer happy, and just knowing that like along the way, like you can't do that every single time, but sprinkling them in here and there, or even just knowing that, hey, this CEO is emailing you, you know, what you do, but it does matter to some people. This is cool. Thanks for taking a minute. Or people who respond to our feedback email after you buy it. It's like, hey, like we have this automated email. It's like, hey, I'm Caleb. Like, why'd you buy it? Thanks so much. And we get a ton of responses to it. It's super cool. And I try to respond to as many of those as I can. And just be like, seriously though, like me writing, like I'm not even copy paste. I'm like, seriously, thank you so much for your feedback and your support. I love that. That's why you're going to use it. I like respond directly to their email. And those touches definitely make a difference. And in the Instagram and like the seating and all of that, there's definitely, again, the vibe thing. There's definitely people who are like sliding in with 3,000 followers and they're just like, hey, can I get a free bag? You're like, that's not how this works.
That's weird. That's a weird question.
Yeah. You know how that's going to work. But when it's like someone like you who like tags us, you're like, oh, yo, good vibes. Or the athletes, like something really cool in the last month is we brought on about 60 professional athletes and influencers with about 45 million followers total. All through the same thing, where it's basically just cool people like liking the photos, commenting on stuff, being like, yo, this is dope. And then all of a sudden we're sending bags to like 20 different NFL teams and MLB teams and NHL teams.
Yeah.
Like outside of CrossFit. So like we're seeing this really cool groundswell of just, because it's not really a sport specific bag, it's a gym bag. It kind of works across all sports. And so we're seeing this like really cool swell of momentum and awareness around, hey, like this is, especially at that level, you're kind of always thinking 1% better. And so you see the product and then we just have a lot of trust in what we made. And when you get it, you're like, oh shit, you touch it. You're like, yeah, you did what you said you would do. Like you told me it was going to be good and it's good.
are you ready for that kind of growth? What if you become like more endemic bag brand?
Yeah, not yet. We will be next year. Yeah, we're working on it now. Like that's another thing. Like we're figuring out how to like order product and how to like pay for product. And that's why we've done pre-sales for so long. And like, literally we're going to sell out of backpacks again. And honestly, we have a big Labor Day sale coming up, and that's probably going to kill our stock. And then we won't have any again until Christmas if we're lucky.
Holy shit.
And so that's been like a really difficult thing to navigate, and we're still navigating it, but we have some pretty key partners that are coming on. Some of the people above the players at those teams that are really interested in working with us that could really help catapult us into that level where we could meet that growth.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully we'll have some news there soon, but we're really excited.
That happened fast.
Yeah.
That happened fast.
Yeah. 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 We really feel like it's kind of a tipping point right now with the awareness within the CrossFit community, with the CrossFit partnership, with all of these other athletes, with some of the other things that are happening. Like I've kept like a string of notes of just what's happening and be aware of it. And it's easy to be like in the weeds and be a founder and just be like kind of fucking grinding. But it's like taking a step back, just be like, wait a second here, what's happening? This feels kind of special. This feels like something that isn't very normal. This feels like not everyone gets the chance to work on a company or start a company or be involved in a company that's doing something like this. And there's been little moments along the way. And like my partnership director we just hired, she's been in sports marketing for 10 years and she's helped to bring on all of these athlete influencers. And you've worked with her, Lily. And in DMs.
Do you know Lily, John?
I don't think so. Which group is she with? She in partnerships?
Oh, no. Yeah. She's my director of partnerships. I thought she had talked with you, Nikki.
Oh, is she the one that I was emailing with to send this?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, I was like, do I know her? I didn't set any of this up. So yeah, no, that's Lily. She's been in sports marketing. She has a master's of sports marketing degree, and she's been in this industry for 10 years, started with like Lisa Mattresses. And we were talking the other day and she's like, dude, I've never seen a response to a brand like the people you have in your DMs, the caliber and the like quality and the like response of just actually like genuinely being interested and not wanting to work with agents and not demanding payments and just being like, yeah, send me a bag, I'll film something. We're like,
yeah.
Okay, wow, that's crazy. So like really trying to like, yeah, take in this whole moment of, I think there's something really cool happening here. And it really feels like we're kind of on that tipping point.
You know what I did as we're sitting here talking about your bag and influencers is I made you a meme while we were here. Literally sat here and created it, did the Photoshop as we were talking. It was great.
Holy
I used
shit.
Your bag.
That's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
My God.
So if you're listening to the audio version, there's this meme of The Rock carrying this huge bag. So I photoshopped in the bag from Haven and put a caption that said, coming to CrossFit with my Haven bag full of shoes, belt, grips, chalk, tape, snacks, water, a bottle of wine, a small TV, and my cat. So
all perfectly organized, my
all perfect. Yeah. See, I should change the caption to all perfectly organized.
Oh,
that's
my God.
That's actually a better caption.
That picture could be is the, perfect. That could be the post copy for you.
I'll drop it in your DM so you have it.
I love it. Oh my God. This is perfect.
So true.
My cheeks hurt. Caleb, what does this all mean for you? Because you're the startup guy and you left your other full-time job to do this. And now this isn't really a startup. It's kind of a growth up situation. Like, how is this for you to be at the helm of this sort of like new experience?
Yeah, it's super cool. Coming from the startup world, like working in a startup and like head of growth or like various marketing roles or even the few that I started that weren't this big. It's cool when it's your own. It's cool when the nights that you like spend at the table being like, is it worth it? Do I just fucking give up? And there's a lot of those, like in the course of 6 years, you're like, really? Is it gym bags? Is this the right thing? Especially early on, especially a lot of people were like, yeah, we're going to make an organized gym bags. Like, did you say gym bags? We're like, yeah, it's a huge industry. It's like $34 billion a year. And they're like, yeah, maybe we should do something else. I'm like, go fuck yourself. This is real.
Right.
I swear.
Yeah. So like those moments early on, and then moments now where you're like, oh, like we're going to be like out of product. And it kind of feels like you screwed it up a little bit, or we ordered too much of one product and then you were a little bit cash poor. And like, there's all these like silly moments that are really wildly frustrating and really make you like reconsider. But I don't know, like you just kind of keep gritting it out. Like I have this deep seated belief in what we're doing, in the opportunity to build something cool, to provide jobs, to build like really high quality products, to provide really great experiences across everything that we can, whether that's Instagram or CS. And I don't know, in like my opinion, like just try to do it as right as we can. And that kind of keeps me going.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
It's so unique.
It is unique. Yeah, I was also, while I was actually sitting here memeing, I also, because I can multitask, listen to you guys meme.
It's really amazing.
And look at your Twitter feed all at the same time. Where is it an X feed now? What the hell is it called?
Yeah, I still call it Twitter, whatever.
Goodbye.
I'm so annoyed at the name change.
For sure.
Yeah,
I'm also annoyed that at no point did I think of taking the X.com website. Imagine how much money that guy's getting paid now.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
But anyway, I love this concept you have, though, of just sharing what you guys are doing revenue-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, just the total transparency of what your company's doing is really, really cool. Because I think so many companies, even within the CrossFit space, again, I won't name names, but you know who I'm talking about. They're so tight-lipped about everything that goes on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, you just make the same shoe every time. You can tell us what you're earning. It's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Again, not named. Seriously. And like, I'm in business. I got a real job and I spend a lot of time on numbers, so I can guess, but it would be great to know, is it working? And because it helps me understand, is the CrossFit ecosystem growing or is it shrinking?
Yeah.
And you said it, all these companies that have come out of CrossFit give me hope that the brand is going to continue to grow because everybody else seems to continue to grow. So it's just, it's great to see. It gives me a little light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. I love your Twitter feed, and I'm deep in the D2C Twitter space, which, if I can be honest, can be real toxic sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Very,
yeah. Some
very
days.
Bromance-y,
yeah.
In a way that is actually not good. But that being said, I think that people who lead with transparency are setting a new standard in the industry. That is going to make what I said was unique. Like you guys basically just saying, we're just going to do the right thing all the time. And that's going to push us to the top. Like it's setting that as a standard where it really shouldn't be unique.
Right.
What it is.
Yeah.
And the more that we force that, the more people are going to start to look at brands who aren't doing that and saying, why don't we know your numbers? Why don't we know your process? Why are you hiding it? And why are you not sharing it? Because a rising tide, yada, yada. I feel the same way about the D2C space. And there's a lot, especially on the marketing side, that can be shared and grown and doesn't need to be like weird and behind closed doors.
Exactly. Yeah. I get it with some brands. If you're starting another sock brand and maybe you don't want to reveal your secret sauce, that's cool. Even then, though, I don't know. For us, it's a little easier because I'm not too worried about competitors. Right. Like, at some point, like we will have someone who'll try to knock us off, but we have a patent. And like I said, it's like a pain in the ass to make it and ship it and do all of these things. So I'm not worried yet. And then just the authenticity of it. So when we run a sale, like we ran a really big one in April and we called it the sale of the century. We did $100 off and we were like, hey, like we need money. And you get a benefit. And so we're doing the exact same thing for Labor Day. We're like, hey, like, we don't really like to do the sale thing and follow that all the time. We think we have a good product at a good value and we stand by it. But also, like, we need product. Like, we need to order more product from our factory and we don't have the money for it. So this is a win-win situation. You get a discount. We get some cash to buy more product. This whole ecosystem keeps going. And it, like, brings you into, like, our journey. Like, now you feel like, you bought a bag, you got a discount, which makes you stoked. And then also like you were able to help us. Like,
yeah,
we say this all the time. And like, we don't like, we mean it. Like, we're like, thank you. Like without our customers, like we wouldn't be here. And it's very simple, but it's all like, we've just have so much gratitude for the people who are behind us and who are shouting us out on Instagram and who are like, hey, this bag is really cool. You should buy it. Yeah.
So I'm going to blow some people's minds by asking a real question. People hate it when I do that shit. But how are you diversifying your brand? CrossFit's been kind of a wonky space the last couple of years. They've certainly had their ups and downs and some real challenges in leadership and turnover and all kind of craziness. And they still do, if we're being fair. And I'm not picking on them. I just think it's fair to say they've had a lot of issues in the last couple of years. And they feel like they're on the upswing. So I want to be fair. But you got to diversify your business. If you put all your eggs in that one basket, that organized basket's going to go away pretty quick.
Yeah.
So what other groups are you guys reaching out to? NFL, MLB? What are you working on?
Yeah. So here's our roadmap. We have thought of CrossFit as our foundation. And then on top of that, we're going to build in sports. And so we're picking a few right now where we've seen some resonance, and that is with the NFL. And so we're even starting to test ads. Like, we ran a video photo shoot with an NFL player from the Texans. He's one of our earliest customers, John Weeks. He's been a huge supporter. And at some point in the last like 3-6 months, he was just like, hey, like, you guys want to shoot some photos? I'm going to be at a summer training camp. Like, we could meet up. And I was like, are you, as a professional footballer, offering to do a free photo shoot for us?
What?
And he's like, yeah, I know.
That's awesome.
I'm like, yes is the answer. I would like to do that. Yes, and so we did this whole thing, and then we're like, hey, like, can we run these in ads? He's like, yeah, for sure. I don't care. Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Like, normally that is like a real big expense. And so we have three other football players, the Giants and some other guy, literally.
Some big dudes.
Yeah, doing the same thing. And then we just did it with a Olympic sprinter. And then a handful of triathletes. So where we're looking at like expanding immediately in the short term is football players, triathletes, and boxing, UFC, MMA type stuff. That's where we have a lot of resonance. Very similar, especially like the triathletes and the MMA people, very similar to CrossFitters, where you have a ton of gear. And you're using it every day, and you have to cycle it in and out, and half of it smells like shit.
Yep. Mm. Hey, you should get Cade York on the Browns. He's sucking right now. I'm going to get cut soon, so you get him cheap. You get him real cheap.
Actually, our threshold is free. So
yeah, our threshold's free.
Unless he wants to just step in and do it for free, we're all set.
Well, yeah. Watch week one. If he misses a field goal, you could get him for free. I can almost guarantee it. Almost guarantee it.
He's offer him a bag, and he'll be can I resell this for $300? Because I really need that money right now.
Yeah, I'm getting fired.
I know. Right. I love that you're doing UFC, though, because I think that's UFC is literally the closest thing to CrossFit I can imagine. Like, people do Brazilian jiu-jitsu and all these sports. You're right, like, all their stuff smells to hell. They're just carrying smelly gear everywhere. They got a ton of it that they got to carry. They're always carrying the huge bags. I love that. It's great.
Yeah, well, it's I think it makes sense for so many things, but that's where we've seen a lot of resonance. So we have the same thing happening with like CrossFitters and NFL players and triathletes and UFC and MMA people. Is these people will just reach out to us, and then we'll see them the product, and then they'll post a video, and it's just kind of this wild thing that's happening. And they're like, all right, let's like pay attention, and let's see if we can kind of grow those verticals. Like, if you look at our ads, and if you go to our website or our Instagram, you start getting peppered with ads, and they're like 98% focused on this is like for a CrossFitter. So now it's let's create some stuff in some other verticals and see if we can open those up.
Have you heard of pickleball?
Yeah.
Those people have gear.
Somebody should just build a brand around, we're only going to sell to people that won't shut the fuck up about their hobbies. And you're only going to sell to CrossFitters, pickleballers, vegans, atheists.
I think with Stanley Cups.
You know?
Yes.
It's seriously, that's all it's going to be. I don't know of what you could design that could only sell to a pickleballer or an atheist, but you figure it out.
I'll figure that out. There. I like to develop products.
Yeah. Start something new.
Hey, pickleballers got a lot of gear, man. I'm telling you, of course, they're basically CrossFitters, so they'll probably just gravitate towards you anyway.
It's probably on the roadmap at some point. And that's kind of what we're looking at with this growth and like a little fundraise and some of these people that want to get involved and how to do, where to go, how to get there is being able to bring on a team and like really crush product development over the next couple of years, because It's two of us and then a couple of freelancers and an agency, and we can't right. do much more than what we've done. So bringing on a team to like kind of crush his opportunities. And we're talking with a couple of other major billion-dollar sports franchises about large partnerships, like what we did with CrossFit. Kind of, we had talked a little bit about getting involved with CrossFit, and then once we sealed the deal and then posting some of the reports about how we've grown and the benefits that have come out of that has really piqued some interest of these other groups. And so I'm pretty excited about kind of all of that side on like the business growth side as well.
Yeah, that's great.
What is what is the business environment like in Seattle? I know the last couple of years have been kind of wild for the West Coast between riots and craziness and whatever. I mean, you only see what we see in the news. I don't get out to the West Coast. I just assume the place is burning down. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I'm in the Midwest.
Depends
dude.
On the day.
I'm in Ohio. We're all nice here. I don't know what to say. I hear that. What's it like?
Yeah. So I'm originally from Nebraska, so I get the Midwest thing.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And my co-founder is in New York. I'm actually moving to LA this fall. So like even more West Coast.
Whoa.
In Seattle, it's, there's a really good tech scene. There's not much of an e-commerce or a direct-to-consumer scene. Like it's kind of getting there, but also like Seattle, if you've ever heard of the Seattle freeze, it's essentially like the people aren't particularly nice or welcoming or open or inviting. And so like the community here is a little rough. I'm good at building community. Like I got my start running conference in the Midwest that became like really well-known in the startup space and like building community around that. And for me, it's been hard here. So I'm like, oh, this is rough. And that's part of the move to LA is like I have a ton of e-commerce friends there. There's events going on all the time. There's lots of fitness stuff going on. It just makes a lot of sense for us right now. And then my co-founder is in New York. So I'm there fairly often. And also, it's just a great place to be.
Caleb, these members at CrossFit Antifa are just not nice. I don't know. what the problem
weird
is.
How that works.
Yeah. So weird.
That's your next meme, John.
Yes. that would be a good one.
Can you imagine? Actually, I could imagine. I can't imagine.
Well, look, I mean, you're defying the odds, right? You're building the business and doing the thing. Maybe if the environment isn't even perfectly laid out for.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You just keep going. Yeah.
Where are you going to be in LA? Do you know yet?
Yeah.
Probably near Venice, Santa Monica.
Nice. That's
I have a good friend that's a coach at a CrossFit Paradiso in Santa Monica.
I was just there like a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It's a great gym.
Yeah.
It's a great gym.
If you end up in that area and that's where you're going to work out, let me know and I'll connect you guys.
Noted.
Very, very good friends out there. And I have another friend that owns a series of breweries. So if you like beer, that's my other connection, fitness and beer. That's it.
Perfect.
So,
it's great. I'm a CrossFitter. Of course I like beer.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Also, in general.
Can we all go?
I'd love to. Dude, so this is a true story. I went out there a few years back. And I'd worked with this kid in the restaurant business years ago, and he was a total fuck up. And I hope he hears this because I would say that to his face. He was he's a Marine. And then when we got out of the Marines, went in the restaurant business. And he was just like, he was just a young kid, just did a lot of dumb shit. And at some point, he decided he wanted to be an actor like everybody else. So he moves out to California and finds himself in the restaurant business. And he took a loan from his dad or some family member. And bought this little brewery in West Hollywood before it became like the cool, trendy place to be. And next thing you know, this dude's a millionaire and he's got two or three breweries and he's the hip place to be. It was when I went out to see him, I'm like, bro, what happened to you? Like, how did this happen?
That's awesome. I love those
stories. Matt says that shit all the time. He's like, if I could go back in time to when I was getting my pharmacist degree, I wouldn't. And I would have just opened a fucking brewery.
Yeah.
Because they were not the cool place to be when like our parents were chilling in their 30s and 40s. He's like, that's what I would have done. Screw like working in the medical field.
Yeah.
The best thing when I was there, it was the year the Cavaliers won the NBA finals. And so I'm in California for the NBA finals the night they win the final game seven.
Wow.
And like we get whatever his name is shoots the winning shot and the Ohio boy here stands up, screams like an idiot, and the whole place turns and looks at me. I thought I was getting murdered. I'm like, I'm gonna die in Los Angeles tonight. This is not good.
Yeah.
I gotta go. But cool brewery. So I'm excited for you. It's a fun place. Santa Monica's gorgeous, dude. Totally gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's like, I love Seattle. It is beautiful here. Like Mount Rainier and the ocean out my window, and everywhere you drive, there's green and trees, and it's 30 minutes to snowboarding and hiking and all of these things. It's very lovely. But like for the business, it's not the best place for us. And so we're kind of optimizing for that right now.
I'd really like 2 hours commute to go 5 miles. That would be awesome. So where could we go for that? Los Angeles. Perfect.
Gross. I hate driving.
I couldn't fucking handle that shit.
No.
What are you talking about, Nikki? You basically live in Boston. You have that now.
Okay.
Same thing.
Rhode Island traffic, it takes you 15 minutes to get from one side of Rhode Island to the other. It is not all like any other major big city. But also Boston traffic, which I grew up in, is nothing compared to LA traffic.
It's a fucking joke. It is a little different, I'll give you, but they're both frustrating as all.
East Coast traffic, I can deal with that shit.
The problem with LA traffic. The LA traffic sucks because you'll get you can see like a mile. You can see it. You can physically see it and you're not moving. I hate that. Like absolutely. Yeah.
That's the first thing that I went there for the first time, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. And I was in West Hollywood and we got an Uber and we sat in an Uber for an hour to go like a mile. Yep. I was like, we could have walked. We should have walked. It would have saved us a lot of time.
Yeah. You're going to have to get a Tesla probably or a scooter. Either one will get you faster.
I think a scooter sounds better. Yeah.
Ooh, it sounds like fun. You would look cool. You could get like a long scarf.
Do you look cool on a scooter?
Yeah, totally. Mm,
do you?
Totally. I'm here for it.
I'm still single, so.
Oh, okay. Let's rewind that conversation, and I take back everything I said about the scarf. I'm so sorry.
Cool, thanks.
But we'll happily re-outfit you as your wing people now.
Great.
In a better mode of transport.
There you go.
Perfect. All right, appreciate it. Need all the help I can get.
So when people want to go buy these Haven bags on sale, because it sounds like they're coming on sale really quick here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where do they go?
Havenathletic.com.
All right. And this is Labor Day sale?
This is Labor Day. So it's going to start on Saturday. It's going to run till Monday. It's going to be $80 off. It's the second best sale we've ever done.
Good. Whatever.
Yeah. In April, we did the sale of the century. We did $100 off and we're like, hey, we will never do a sale like this again. And so we're sticking true to not having the same exact discount because that was insane. Like $100 off was like, so we're doing $80 off and yeah, we're excited.
Perfect.
$80 is basically $100. $80 is basically two pumpkin spice lattes away from $100.
There you go.
That's how I measure everything.
Yeah.
By the
Americans way, Americans will use anything but the metric system. Anything but the metric system.
Yeah. Two pumpkin spice lattes.
Two pumpkin spice lattes. Yeah. I love it. All right. Well, I guess I'm releasing this episode early.
I know we should.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah, get people to buy some bags. Plus, they can see my meme, so it's even better.
Please.
Plus, they can see my meme.
Yeah,
I create really great products. You create really great memes.
Priorities.
Look, everybody's got their skills, Caleb. Mine just happens to have no monetary value. That's the problem.
You're not making money on your memes, bro?
The meme millions. About the meme millions. I do make money on memes. I put my kids through college on those memes.
500,000 followers. Yeah, you should be making money.
Yeah, that would make you more money. No, I'm putting those kids through college on memes. I mean, it's not a ton of money. Don't get me wrong. I had actually
on memes and his full time big boy job, which is actually quite a lot of responsibility.
My big boy job pays fine. The memes, it's just kind of fun money. But I raise more money for charity than I actually earn, and that I like. That's far more rewarding than other things. Although paying for Meg's college is pretty rewarding too, for being honest.
Yeah, that's cool.
That shit's expensive, man.
Yeah.
Also, that's a great story to tell someday. Hey, how'd you get through college? My dad has a meme account and he paid for it.
Oh, she tells those stories now. Matter of fact, she's in a rock climbing club and she loves it. And they just all got in a car and did a road trip and went to Utah or somewhere. And next thing I know, and didn't tell me, by the way, just get in the car and drive from Cincinnati, Ohio, where she's going to college and to Utah.
So
next thing I know, I'm just seeing a selfie of her and three other girls and they're all cheek to cheek, like basic white bitches do. Right. And so
holding pumpkin spice lattes.
Yeah. And so I instantly, there's a meme that's out there. It's just like a standard meme template of these four goats that are all cheek to cheek.
I knew you were going to do the goat meme.
Yeah. And so I just put the goats underneath them and her on the top. And I go, how white girls take selfies. And I send it to her, and she sends back. She's like, "Oh my God, I feel so attacked. I can't believe you do this." I'm like, "Hey, I'm paying for your college with this shit. So you can't complain.
You cannot complain.
This. You have to expect it. Like, this is just going to happen."
Also, you're self-awareness. Welcome. You got to know when you're being a basic white bitch.
Yeah.
Call yourself out on it. There's nothing wrong with it. I love pumpkin spice lattes.
Yeah.
Who the fuck doesn't?
Right. They're delicious. Like, they're get over yourself.
Wait, can I tell you the local drink that I'm obsessed with? It is a brown butter toffee latte with a pumpkin spice cold foam.
Oh, so that's savory. Good.
Yum.
There you go.
There's a Starbucks Reserve like three blocks from me. Ooh. They are releasing a pumpkin spice espresso martini, and you better believe I'm going to go get that. Yeah.
Well, I'll be there. I'm coming.
Yeah, cool. Swing on by.
I didn't even know Starbucks had places that had alcohol.
They only have a couple.
Wow. This is a West Coast thing or just?
I think there's New York too.
Yeah. 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 It's because Starbucks like started here. So we have the OG space and then Reserve, which is just, it's a tourist spot. And if you go there at any point, there's a line out the door, and they have very special, like one-off custom drinkware that's actually like really high quality. And then they do like pizza and like full on food. And then they've got like copper tubs where they roast, like, it's a show. It's actually like cool to see. Like if people come visit, I take them there. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And they do booze.
Yeah.
I was in Seattle a long before my girls were even born. It's been 20 something years. And we went to a brewery, and one of the breweries had a stout made with Starbucks coffee. And it was the most amazing beer I'd ever had. I'd never had coffee and beer together. Mm-hmm. And then we could never get it in Ohio because we're just dumb here. damn Midwest.
Midwest.
We're the last for everything. Every state around us has weed but us. It's terrible.
Do you think Nebraska or Ohio is going to be the last?
Probably Nebraska. You guys are more religious than we are.
Yeah,
I think we're right on the edge. Like you can get it with medical cards, or you can just drive me up 2.5 hours to Michigan and just buy it really cheap, whichever you prefer.
Yeah,
it's really weird. Like it feels weird still that people can do it. And it's becoming so commonplace. Like I work for a bank, right? And like a really big bank. Mm-hmm. And banks have been strict for decades. And I'm in a meeting and I'm talking to a really high level, it's like an assistant, but high level. And somebody's like, "Oh yeah, our husband owns a dispensary." And I'm like, how'd you get approval for that? She's like, "I didn't need approval for that. It's legal. What are you talking about? Besides, it's my husband's." And a decade ago, you would have been instantly fired for that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly it changed.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It does still feel like a little wonky since it's like federally not quite, but they also don't care. But then.
It's weird.
I don't know.
Yeah.
My brother has been working in the cannabis industry for like a decade now, which is crazy to say, but basically the moment it became legal in
Colorado. How much cash does he have in mattresses?
I know, right? Well, that's what I joke. I'm like, he worked in it illegally for so long and now he works in it legally. But I just, I commend the people who are like really paving the way for the industry as a whole, because it is so rife with regulation and difficulty in processing. And that's what he does. Like that sort of, he's making sure everything is on the up and up consistently with new products and new stores and new whatever. And he's done it all over the country now. So it doesn't feel weird to me because I'm like, I know of this industry like well within my family for a long time now. But yeah, in the places where it's just like just recently popping up, I totally get when people are like, "Can we do this?
Yeah.
Just walk in here.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. It's legal.
Yeah.
It's also weird because psilocybin mushrooms are like fast tracking to production.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, big pharma is going to come out with it. So it'll be legal in the next like handful of years.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's already weird ways to skirt the system. We were approached by a couple of mushroom brands. I know. We were approached by a couple of mushroom brands to talk,
really?
To talk about marketing. Yeah. And I was like, so you guys are just like shipping? You're just like shipping them. You just buy them online. I was like, man, have some like intense regulations around paid social when it comes to drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think maybe we should go all in and change the name. Kettlebells and Edibles. It'd be great. And
I like it.
All the things.
Let's do it. You know what? If I could have gotten ahead, and I'm not personally into weed, but I don't care one way or another what anybody does with their spare time. But if I could go back in time in the way Matt is, I would have opened a brewery. I'm like, I would have bid for a dispensary license because holy shit.
Yes.
That industry is just bananas.
Yeah.
It's wild. There you go. Well, start thinking about your next version of the bag with the weed pocket. That's what you're going to need.
A
bong pack or whatever. I don't know what to call it. Yeah.
Haven bong bags.
Bong bags.
Love it.
Let me know how that sounds weird. The duffel has a little secret.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. See that?
They're nice. They're like smoother on your lungs, is what people tell me.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, so I've heard.
So I've heard.
So I've heard.
So my friend says.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, the duffel has a secret pocket for weed. Is that where you were going with this?
Yeah. It's like a jewelry pocket, but you know, we all know it's for drugs.
That's funny that you say that, because that's actually what I do truly need. That is what is truly missing. I still have a tiny little Kayla ring pocket on my keychain that is probably friggin' 15 years old at this point. Mm-hmm. So that's clever. Do you want my one piece of feedback on the side pocket that is for the water bottle? We have the big 32-ounce Yeti water bottles in my house.
Do you have a small backpack or the large backpack?
Small.
Yeah.
Is that why it doesn't fit? It's
a little toy.
We put it in and we heard a couple things snap and now it fits great.
Yeah.
A couple pieces of the stitching. We're just like.
If you put it in and then you put it, there's no way to finish this phrase.
I have so many jokes right now.
And then you take it out and put it in again.
Look, Nikki, just the tip. See how it feels. All right.
Just ease it in.
Just a little at a time.
If it doesn't fit, make it
put
fit.
Put a playlist on.
Maybe.
No, it does stretch out, but it is a little tight right out of the box. I think this is a 32. Yeah, this is a 30, like a Nalgene. And it's, is this going to rip?
And it doesn't. It stretches. Yeah,
it does stretch, but it is kind of, it's like that. And some people have had some issues with the zipper. And I'm like, look, we made it bomb-proof, not like perfect. And so sometimes when you get the zipper, it initially like sticks a bit. And literally our feedback is like, we'll replace it for you. No problem. If you want to wait. But if you want to fix it, just do this like 20 times. Be aggressive with it. If it rips, we'll definitely replace it. But just do that. Like we built it really gnarly. And so there's some things that are a little like kind of still like fine-tuning those. But I love hearing feedback like that. Yeah.
That was the only thing.
Nikki can't get it in. Matt can't even find it. So that's a problem.
Matt is the one that made it fit. He was like, it's too big, but I'm going to make it work. And I was like, you do that, honey. That's the spirit, Matt. I'm here
for man.
You.
Spoken like a dude. Just like a dude.
Oh, my God. Thank God he doesn't listen to this show.
Good. Yeah. That's also surprising. Is it like a just a nice like barrier to like, hey, like I don't want you to, or is like, I don't care what you do in life.
No, his excuse is just he talks to me all day. Why would he want to then continuously listen to my voice? I can't say that I blame him.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing that's weird about podcasting, Caleb, is that you don't get. It's not like the meme page where people give me a lot of immediate feedback. They tell you if they like something or if you're an asshole for posting something. Like you don't find out until you meet someone in person. And then Nikki and I are going to run into somebody at an event in like 3 months. I'm like, oh my God, remember when you guys were talking about screwing that bag with that water bottle? That's what it's going to be like. Swear to God.
Like, yes.
No, I'm so sorry. Yeah, yes. What did we say?
I say bullshit every week.
Yeah.
No, I can't remember.
Yeah. And they act like they've known us their whole life, which we love.
That's actually my favorite part.
This isn't a complaint, but they'll be like, oh my God, how's Matt and the baby? And John, how's Bean, your cat? And I'm like, oh, now I feel like a loser. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bean's great. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I just thought how we let Allie kind of just do whatever with the bag. We just did this with, they're called Stay Laughing Comedy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they were CrossFitters, but they got the bag and they were packing it. And they're like, here's what we pack. And they're like, here's our clothes. Here's our shoes. Here's a dildo. And it was really funny.
Did it fit?
It's awesome. They put it in that pocket or no?
Put it in the pocket.
Put it in, take it out, put it in again.
Yeah, now I really want to know what your water bottles look like, Nikki. Jesus.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't. I just, 32 ounces.
Man, all right, I'm cutting myself off from jokes.
Am I impressive or is Matt impressive? That's the real question.
I haven't seen you drink from the water bottle, so I can't say.
I wish I had one.
I don't know.
I plead the fifth.
I know. I don't know.
Yeah, comment on this.
I have no idea.
At all, this from the show.
But sometime when we're at a brewery together, we'll bring it back up, and I would be glad to comment on this, like, three or four beers deep.
Wherever the games are next year, wherever they are, we don't know yet. We have suspicions.
Oh, but we have suspicions? Have we talked about it? Has anyone talked about it?
I've heard two. Well, now I'm hearing new places. I'd heard Dallas from a ton of people, but now I'm here in Des Moines, and I don't know who's trying to throw me off.
Against Des Moines.
I'm from Nebraska, so Iowa sucks. Like, that's why it's so
got it,
windy.
Got it. Just by default.
Yeah,
understood.
Yeah, yeah. Got it. I like Des Moines. It's a nice city, but it's way
I've said
small.
Forever. It's got to be a college town, sort of. Boulder makes sense. Des Moines makes sense. I think Dallas makes sense because it's got a nice airport. You know, so you got to have kind of that college town vibe. I like the idea of Dallas because the hotels won't rape us. Like, that's, you know, they're used to people coming in. A city like Des Moines is going to raise the prices just like Madison did, and it's going to be super expensive. Same for Boulder, same for any Austin. These little towns will see us coming a mile away and charge us an arm and a leg, and can't blame them. But
yeah, I spent $10,000 on hotels in Madison.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It was crazy. Yeah.
And people were sharing rooms. Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is your sponsorship deal as the official bag of the CrossFit Games, is that a multi-year deal?
It initially started as that, and then because it was taking us a while to get it finalized, we decided to just make it for this year and put a cap on it and get it done. And so we'll revisit. I actually have a call with them on Friday to kind of start talking about recap of the games going forward for the next few months, and then when to start talking about next year.
It's this Friday that you're talking to them.
You tell us where the games will be. Perfect.
Oh, I ask him all the time. I have a head in. My friend is the head of biz dev there, and I'm just like, so can you tell me? And he's like, no, they don't tell me. Like, he's like this. They like really try to keep like a really tight team on it because they know that there's people who fucking leak info, which also is like annoying. You're just like, don't leak the info. I know we all want to know, but don't, because it ruins it. Unless it's Birmingham because, again, fuck Birmingham.
Unless that, but also
let's ruin that.
If you leak if we didn't tell you the info, it's for a reason. Like, it's not ready, or the deal's not penned, or like whatever it may be. There's a reason. The second we know, I'm sure we'll tell you.
Well, No, I'm with you, John. I hope it's I hope it's like Dallas. I hope it's a city that can handle a fartload of people coming in without an issue. Flights are easy. Hotels are easy. Restaurants are easy. They're used to hosting whatever 100,000 people without a blink of the eye.
All right, you're talking to him this Friday, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm posting this show Saturday, and I just want to make sure that they don't get you cornered and go, hey, we heard the weed story. we're not sure you're good for our brand. Just want to keep you out of trouble.
Oh, gosh, no, I think we're fine. I think we're fine,
All right, well, wherever it is, we'll all get together and have beers next time.
Yay.
Perfect. I'll see that. Yeah. Yeah.
Super fun. Well, thanks for coming on, man. It's been great.
Yeah, this was a blast. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Sure. Anytime. Yeah. Nikki, go steal your bag back from your husband.
I will try. He's pretty attached.
Well, right now he's picking shitty players for his fantasy team. So go get it right now while he's not looking.
True. I could take all his little things out of all the pockets and just replace them with all of my gear. It'll be perfect.
Deal with all kind of women things. You know what I'm talking about. And
Women things. He'll just be like, we'll burn this bag later.
Yeah, we're just done with this bag. It'll be great. Yeah. All right. Well, everyone, thanks for joining this week. We appreciate you guys being on. And make sure you go buy yourself a bag, and we'll chat with you guys soon.